The 21st century, which in the context of French literary studies begins in the early 1980s, presents novelists with a number of challenges. First of all, how do writers renew the cultural form of the novel after the avant-gardist experiments of the 1960s and 1970s pushed narrative to its limits in France, unreservedly sacrificing the discursive to the metadiscursive? Secondly, how do artists whose medium is language contend with a cultural context that is increasingly visual and screen-based? And what is the place of the literary novel as opposed to the commercial novel in a period characterized by what Jean-François Lyotard in 1979 called the postmodern condition, a mindset marked by skepticism toward grand narratives, including that of literature being revelatory, revolutionary, or redeeming? For Warren Mott, the contemporary period represents nothing less than, quote, the most astonishing reinvigoration of French narrative prose since the new novel, end quote. The new novel, or nouveau roman, having been the most significant literary phenomenon of the 1950s in France, resolutely subverting realist conceptualizations of plot and character. In an effort to characterize the distinctly new directions the contemporary novel is taking, scholars have noted many returns to narrative, to the subject, to the real, to history, while also acknowledging that the term return is problematic, for this is no nostalgic gesturing to a pre-new novel past, but rather configurations of novel spaces in the present. Although the contemporary French novel shows traces of the formal concerns of the new novel, it is no longer predominantly preoccupied with its own procedures. In fact, more often than not, it embraces both the adventure of writing, to use Jean Ricardou's expression, and the writing of adventures, while also offering new readings on each of these terms. In this literary landscape, Belgian author Jean-Philippe Toussaint has distinguished himself as both a pioneering and an enduring figure. Since his debut in 1985 with the experimental novel La Salle de Bain, The Bathroom, he has remained one of the most innovative and critically acclaimed contemporary novelists published in France, winning a variety of honors and awards and appearing prominently in studies on contemporary French literature. Both a popular and critical success, his first novel sold 80,000 copies during its first year of publication and prompted critics to speak of a nouveau roman, a new novel, and a nouvelle école de minuit, new midnight school. These designations refer to the fact that Toussaint and other authors receiving critical attention at the time were being published by Les Éditions de Minuit, Midnight Editions. The term also acknowledged a certain affinity between the novels written by this new group of writers and the literary experiments of the new novel, also associated with Midnight Editions, notably in their subversion of traditional conceptualizations of plot and character. But there was also something indisputably original about the new generation of writers. Mott characterizes them as, quote, a kinder, gentler avant-garde in which literary experiments are pursued but without completely sacrificing narrativity. Toussaint's novels are both engaging and highly wrought, or to use Roland Barthes' terms, they are both lisible and scriptible, readerly and writerly. On the writerly side, they grant the reader remarkable interpretive freedom, thanks to Toussaint's practice of leaving gaps in the narrative that are to be filled in by the reader's imagination. By circumventing narrative conventions, for example, by not explicating and analyzing events and characters, and instead remaining silent on motivations, Toussaint's novels generate a sort of dialectical relationship between reader and author, one that Toussaint cultivates and values. Quote, and the translation is mine, a successful book is a book that succeeds in engaging the intimacy of the reader. I propose something, but the reader appropriates it with his or her own sensitivity, his or her own intelligence, end quote. The interplay between reader and author to which Toussaint refers resonates with the idea of literature's performative potential to narrow the gap between self and other. For Toussaint, this potential transcends national, cultural, and linguistic origins, a position he argues in an essay on the topic of translation, published not in French, but in English, and somewhat ironically entitled, You're Leaving the American Sector. In the essay, he comes down solidly in favor of literature and translation, arguing that whether or not a reader understands what is at stake in a novel depends on the reader's sensibility rather than on whether or not the reader and the book come from the same nation. What a French reader may miss in Robrier's novels, a Chinese reader may grasp in translation. Literature for Toussaint is not so much about nation, language, and culture, it is about the reader's openness and willingness to engage with the other. Because literature, Toussaint writes, quote, beyond continents and frontiers is an intimate exchange between two human beings, end quote. The idea of literature transcending continents and frontiers is played out in the reception of Toussaint's novels, which, like his protagonists, who move regularly between countries and continents, reaches well beyond the French-speaking world. At times, Toussaint's reception abroad has even been warmer than at home. More copies of his first novel have been sold in Japanese than in French, for example, and pocket editions were available in Japanese about a decade earlier than when they became available in French. His writings have also resonated in China. He is one of the few French language authors whose entire oeuvre has been translated into Mandarin, following in the footsteps of canonical writers such as Camus, Sartre, Beckett, Robrier, and Duras. His reception abroad has resulted in multiple invitations to live and work in Japan and China over the last two decades, which in turn has had a significant impact on his writing. Indeed, his last four novels, which include detailed portraits of contemporary Tokyo, Kyoto, Shanghai, and Beijing, constitute a sort of homage to Japanese and Chinese culture. On the question of reception beyond the French-speaking world more generally, Toussaint's novels have been translated into over 30 languages, spanning all continents, although only one text has been translated into Arabic. And they continue to be re-edited, both in French and in translation. Toussaint maintains a close relationship with his translators, collaborating with them at the European School of Literary Translators in Senef in Belgium, during week-long retreats where translators can ask questions about his intentions with regards to specific words and phrasing. These retreats bring together about 10 translators at a time around one novel and include sessions during which individual questions are posed in a group setting such that translators get answers not only to their own questions but also to other translators' questions. Toussaint's novels clearly resonate in a variety of cultural contexts, but it is worth asking why, since although his novels' protagonists live in France, the novels themselves do not particularly engage, let alone leverage, French culture. Readers do not read his novels to learn about France, or to see the world from an alleged French perspective, or Belgian, for that matter. When it comes to his protagonist, Toussaint carefully downplays identity signifiers, making it quite difficult to see them as representatives of specific social or cultural groups. Both literally and figuratively anonymous, they have virtually no backstories, and spend most of their time alone in what Marc Auger calls non-lieux, or non-places, places of transit such as hotels, airports, public restrooms, service stations. Though they live in Paris and appear to be members of the middle class, they do not fit the stereotype of the bourgeois Parisian. In fact, they reject this image, expressing contempt for those around them who don airs of cultural and intellectual superiority. It is perhaps precisely this downplaying of identity signifiers that enables readers, whatever their cultural background, to identify with a protagonist who search for intimacy in a largely indifferent and at times hostile world. When asked whether he writes for an international audience, Toussaint responded, quote, and the translation is mine, yes and no, it's more complicated than that. I am addressing a universal reader who is neither Chinese, nor Czech, nor French, nor American, who is a human being. I would like to create with the reader a human collective, fraternité in French, that has nothing to do with language, so to speak, that is outside of language. There is a universal character in certain human traits, and that is what I try to create with the reader, a human complicity. By engaging universal themes that all humans face, such as death, love, and melancholy, I'm assuming all humans face melancholy at one point or another, and by giving readers a role in the creative process by leaving gaps in the narrative that readers are to fill in with their own imaginations, Toussaint aims to create a human complicity evocative of a cosmopolitan ideal. Toussaint's engagement with and articulation of the cosmopolitan is perhaps most striking in a rather novel, yet not unexpected place, his website, which he conceives of as an experiment in form. in his words, a création formelle, a formal creation. Resisting the dual impulses of the blogosphere and the province of commerce that tend to dominate author websites, Toussaint's instead constitutes a reflection on the specificity of the internet, which Toussaint mobilizes to welcome visitors from around the globe for a behind-the-scenes look at his work, whether it be his writing, film, video photography, or installation art. Beyond providing the expected bibliography, filmography, videography, etc., the site gives visitors unprecedented access to archival documents usually available only after an author's death, such as unpublished manuscripts, handwritten notes, rough drafts, sketches, and other documents related to his novels, screenplays and images from his films no longer in circulation, images and videos from his exhibits no longer on display, and an entire section devoted to translation, including videos of work sessions with his translators. It thus sets itself apart from other author websites by giving visitors an intimate view into the creative process, or as Toussaint puts it, it is as if his computer were made of glass and visitors, internet, the word isn't really translatable into English, can see inside. Okay. Stylistically and structurally, the website anchors itself in the idea of the global. The homepage presents the visitor with a map of the world devoid of geographic or political markers. Across it appear a variety of clickable cities, a state in the case of the United States, that represent some of the places where Toussaint's novels have been translated and published. Clicking one of the 9 locations brings the visitor to a page in the language of that location that provides information on Toussaint's production, including links to a variety of textual and visual resources as mentioned earlier. So, for example, if I were to click on Tokyo, this is what I'd get. The homepage map is also marked by titles of Toussaint's last 4 novels, Faire l'amour, Fuir, La vérité sur Marie, and Nu, the placement of which corresponds to the primary setting of each novel, which, as you can see, is primarily in Asia. A line between the novels Faire l'amour and La vérité sur Marie, along with an accompanying airplane icon, underscore the idea of mobility, a primary theme of Toussaint's production. Clicking on a title brings the visitor to a page in French devoted to a variety of information concerning the novel in question, including rough drafts, sketches, images of the covers of the novel in translation, and other information from interviews to photographic illustrations. So if I were to click on the novel Fuir, this is what I'd get. At the top you have kind of index of what you would get when you scroll down. But you can see each of these is clickable, the states of the manuscript, different versions, rough drafts. And then if you were to scroll down, you would get covers of the book in translation, press, audio, photos, film. Toussaint's website embraces the global not only in the layout of its homepage, but also in the number of languages hosted by the site. 33 in total, one page for each language in which his books have been translated. For about a quarter of the languages, the content pages can be accessed by clicking a location on the home page, or more conventionally, by clicking on a flag located in the upper right-hand corner of most pages. So this is what the France page looks like. Besides France, the flags represent an array of 7 nations. You have the flags up there. Germany, China, Japan, the United States, Italy, the Czech Republic, and Spain, countries where Toussaint has contacts who have agreed to manage the content of each of these pages. Unlike a typical website, these pages are not exact translations of the French page. Rather, each non-French page follows a slightly different path in terms of its organization and content, suggesting that the content managers have some creative freedom in their collaborative role. So, for example, that's the French page. And that's the United States page. The remaining 24 languages can be retrieved by going to the website's translation page, accessed by clicking the arrow to the right of the flags, or by clicking on the spinning globe at the top of the page. Here, the visitor sees a list of places where his books have been translated, mostly nations, but at times regions. You have Corsica, Catalonia, Galicia. And each location is hyperlinked to a page in its language. Not only does the website convene a global village of readers, it also solicits a global village of writers through a collaborative and interactive project that it hosts called the Borges Project. The project was initiated in 2013 with a call for short stories posted on Toussaint's website in French, English, German, Chinese, Japanese, Czech, Italian, Spanish, Korean, Russian, Hungarian, Portuguese, and Estonian. In English, the call reads, you would scroll through it. English was, I think, the second or third one. So the call reads, and you have it up there, "In the Truth About Marie, Jean-Philippe Toussaint evokes a short story by Jorge Luis Borges, The Island of Anamorphoses." He writes, quote, "The Island of Anamorphoses, Borges' apocryphal short story in which depressed and beaten, at the end of a long process of solipsist decline, the writer who invented the third person in literature ends up abandoning his invention and goes back to writing the first person," end quote. All trace of this captivating short story seems to have disappeared. You're a writer, professor, student, or book lover? Why not rewrite it or imagine what became of it? We'd like you to send us your own version of this missing story. The call invites visitors to consider the third person in literature, in other words, the possibility of seeing the world from multiple and even omniscient points of view. Borges's apocryphal short story is pessimistic about such a possibility, since the writer who invents the third person ultimately abandons it after a series of counterintuitive experiences. Rather than sensing the power of an omniscient narrator, Borges's writer senses powerlessness. Instead of seeing the world from different points of view, as his narrator does, Borges's writer falls into a solipsist decline. Perhaps Borges's writer abandons his invention because he does not identify with his narrator. Maybe he abandons it because he comes to understand that in writing in the third person, he is really just writing about himself, and he rejects the pretense. Or maybe he comes to understand what autofiction has shown us, that is, that the first person can be used to see the world from another's point of view, thereby making the third person unnecessary. More scenarios than these were imagined by respondents to the call, some offering their versions of the apocryphal short story, and others writing accounts of its fate. Beginning in 2014, a page on Toussaint's website became accessible that now hosts 57 short stories, reached by clicking on the planet icon at the top of each page. There's a teeny planet up there. Stylistically, the Borges Project makes clear the cosmopolitan, indeed the universal, stance of the project. The page shows a universe, a night sky illuminated by blinking stars. If you were online, the stars would be blinking. Each of which is hyperlinked to a short story. The stars are not coded by author, but by number, assigned in chronological order of submission. But the story stars themselves do not appear in a particular order in the Borges Project universe. Instead, they are positioned randomly and dynamically, with their placement changing each time the page is reloaded. So they move around. Every 2 seconds or so, a different story star is enlarged and highlighted. So if you are seeing this online, you get popped out, and you can see the one that is being highlighted when I captured the screen is the one in the upper left-hand corner. About every 2 seconds or so, a different story star is enlarged and highlighted, inviting the visitor to discover the short story it represents. Although the call was made in multiple languages, the contributions thus far are overwhelmingly in French. One is in Korean and one is in German. But the provenance of these submissions appears to be more global. Although the contributors' short biographies, which can be accessed there, the call is accessed by clicking on Borges Projet, and the Index des Auteurs will give you short biographies of each of the contributors. So the provenance of these submissions appears to be more global. Although the contributor short biographies mention places mostly in the French-speaking world, 31 in France, 7 in Belgium, 2 each mention the United States, Germany, and Japan, and 1 each mentions Romania, Morocco, Colombia, South Korea, Brazil, Bosnia, Argentina, England, Ukraine, and Australia. 12 biographies do not mention a location, and 1 states his location as Earth. As far as other identity markers in these biographies, 31 are female and 26 are male, and a variety of ages are represented. The majority of the contributors identify themselves in one way or another as writers of poetry and fiction, and 12 include links to their personal websites. Not only dynamic and interactive in its layout, the Borges Project itself is dynamic and interactive too. To begin with, the call was recently expanded to invite visitors to submit translations of the published short stories. To date, there are 7 translations, 2 into German, 2 into Italian, and 1 each into English, French, and Czech. Each translation receives its own star on the Borges Project page with a code that links it to the original language. During the summer of 2015, the project became more interactive with the creation of a chaîne littéraire, literary chain. Toussaint created the first link of the chain by selecting one of the short stories and briefly explaining what drew him to it. The following week, the writer of this contribution had to make a new link in the chain by doing the same, that is, by choosing a story and explaining his or her choice. The selections were announced each week via the websites, Twitter, and Facebook pages. Season 1 of the literary chain lasted 13 weeks, and season 2 is slated for this summer. Like the literary chain, the Borges Project itself is a work in progress, with an ongoing call and short stories and translations to be added in the years to come. An open and virtual community of writers in cyberspace unified around a literary topic, the Borges Project raises ethical issues that go beyond the literary sphere. In inviting visitors to create fictions in which they consider the literary convention of the third person, Toussaint asks them to contemplate the possibility, meaning, and implications of seeing from multiple points of view. Although Borges's apocryphal tale suggests that such a position is untenable, the global village that is the Borges Project suggests the contrary, since at its core is the manifestation of multiple points of view from a variety of geographic locales in one location that is paradoxically both nowhere and potentially everywhere. The project in Toussaint's website more generally also suggests that literary cosmopolitanism in the 21st century, that is in the age of the internet, is not only about an openness to different cultural traditions, but also about opening up the idea of literary cosmopolitanism to include writers who are not part of and likely will never be part of a particular cultural tradition, and to include publications in non-traditional formats.